The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
It's on now. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to verse 29. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Let's pray. Father, bless now the preaching of the word. Speak to our hearts through your word and by the Holy Spirit. These truths would be real to us, that they would burn in our hearts, that we'd make application to our lives. Use me again this morning as your instrument and as your vessel. Lord, despite my own faults, my own weaknesses, my own failures, I ask that you'd use me to convey these truths in a very real and very powerful way. And that, Lord, for these next several minutes, as an act of worship, we would be attentive to the Scriptures, attentive to the sermon, attentive to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these are the closing words of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. You'll also find this scripture in the Gospel of Luke. I put it on your handout for you if you look at it there, where in the Gospel of Luke, it is recorded this way, that Jesus said, "He is like a wise man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." You notice in the first verse the word "therefore." Just an old truth with regards to studying the Bible. Whenever you see the word "therefore," you need to go back several verses, or even perhaps in this case, several chapters, because that's what it's a reference to. So the verses that I read to you this morning about the wise man building his house upon a rock and the foolish man building his house upon the sand, it's all based upon what had already been said, the "therefore." And so if you weren't in the adult Sunday school class, Pastor Ethan taught a lesson on what are commonly called the Beatitudes. In verse 5, chapter 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Then in verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we looked at those several verses. But if you study through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus touched a number of areas. He spoke on this in the Sermon on the Mount on killing and how wrong that was. And he spoke about hatred. And he speaks about being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world as believers. And he dealt with the topic of adultery. And he brought it one step further in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about not only if you commit adultery in the flesh, you actually carry it out, but if you think about it in your mind, that's sinful. He deals with these issues here. He deals with the issues of let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. He deals with other issues as well, forgiveness and loving our enemies. an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You heard it. He said, you heard it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. He says, you have heard that thou shalt love thine enemies. Excuse me, that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, he says, love your enemy. Do good unto them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And he deals with all of these topics in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. He deals with our treasures in chapter 6 and the topic of our treasure and where our treasure is. That's where our heart is also. He deals with the giving of alms, and he deals with prayer, and he deals with fasting. He deals with worldly care. He mentions, if you remember, he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not. And neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he deals with all of these topics here. Holy things, not to be profaned. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So he deals with these topics, good fruit and bad fruit. And then he finishes with these words. And I'm just going to read them again. Just follow along in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he'll be like the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains came, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You know, the psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I think most of us, if not all of us, we understand the importance of a strong foundation. In fact, next Sunday I'll be preaching on the topic of the foundation. This morning I'm preaching on the topic of sand, on sinking sand. We sang the song this morning, the hymn, The Solid Rock. It's a great hymn. On Christ the solid rock I'll stand. All other ground, the hymn writer said, it's sinking sand. And so we build our lives, or we're called to build our lives upon the Word of God. And the rock of the cornerstone of the church is Jesus Christ and His Word. And so it's so important, as Jesus taught these truths to the disciples, that they would make application to their lives. And he said, if you'll do that, then you've got a good foundation. And so you and I as believers, that we've placed our faith, we've placed our trust in Christ, I want to challenge you as we think about these truths this morning, but where we are with regard to this, especially as we enter into a new year, and just how important is it, how important is the Word of God in our lives? Not just in our church life, but in our home life, in you young people in school. How important are the truths that you learn in Sunday school or in youth group that you make application? How important is it that you display those and practice those and make application? Because Jesus said, if you don't make application, then really your life is like, it's like the sinking sand. I think most of us have seen on television, you see this a lot, I think really in Florida, ever see the sinkholes that take place in Florida? Where all of a sudden, and in fact, some people even die. I've seen entire houses, all of a sudden a sinkhole opens up. There was one tragic story years ago, I remember, in Florida, where all of a sudden an entire house went down into one of these sinkholes and disappeared into the sinkhole. And a man, he was in the house, and he was swallowed up by that sinkhole. And most houses in Florida, at least that I've seen where I've visited, they don't really have much of a foundation. They're usually built upon a slab because of the sand that's there. And I guess water must get underneath there and eats it away, and that's how the sinkhole just begins. And it's not a strong foundation. It's not built upon a rock. But that can happen in our lives as well. All of a sudden there's a sinkhole because we're not building an area of our life, or we're not building our lives upon the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like those sinkholes, it kind of sucks us in. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful of that. Or they tell me, if you're fortunate enough to be able to build a home on the ocean, that the insurance for those homes can be astronomical, because often there's nowhere to build any kind of a firm foundation. You're building them on sand, and often you've seen that as well, I'm sure, where all of a sudden the waves come in and they just destroy the homes. The waves beat against it. And that's really the picture Jesus is giving for us here in the Gospel of Matthew. So I want to give you this morning three sinking sand ideas here, things to be careful of that I think we can learn from the Scriptures. And like I said, next week we'll talk more about the foundation, the solid rock, and the importance of the foundation. But the sinking sand of experience, the sinking sand of experience. Listen, be careful in your Christian life that you don't base your Christianity on your personal experience. It must always be built upon the Word of God, not on what you're experiencing. I've met people that have based their Christianity on some experience that they've had. Be careful of that. And I put even what I meant by that, the definition of that, on your handout. The idea that the experience one has more authority than the understanding of biblical teaching. Or one person said, the self-validation of personal experience. Or if I can put it this way, someone that might say, maybe not this way, but in their heart, I don't really care what the Bible says. I know what happened to me. I know what I experienced. Well, you should be very careful of that, because experiences shift and change like the sinking sand. And we are told not to put our trust in our own personal experiences, but we're to put our trust in the Word of God. All Scripture, the Bible says, in 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's the breath of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration. That's literally what that word means. And it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, that's the foundation that our lives are to be built upon. And so when we let some experience in our life, well, I know what I experienced. I know what happened. Like I often scratch my head at the so-called visions that people have, or what is the word? It just slipped my mind. When people see supposedly, quote-unquote, Mary. An epiphany or an apparition. What is that word? An apparition. Sometimes, you know, it's really weird. You know, some of them are as weird as, I was at the deli and we saw in this window, all of a sudden, everything formed and it was... Really? And people will flock. Yeah. I've always wondered, well, how did people really know what Mary even looked like? Well, I've got a painting in my house. Never base things on some experience that you have. Experiences, by the way, the Bible says when the Antichrist rises upon the scene, he'll deceive many people with miracles and wonders and signs. That's why you better be anchored to the rock, to the Word of God. So two sub-points to this first point. The quicksand of the subjective, meaning you produce things in your own mind or your own reasonings or your own feelings. Be careful of that. Be careful of you. Well, this is the way I think and this is what I think. And oftentimes you hear that even amongst people who are involved in some way or shape and form in Christianity. Well, this is what I think and that's what you think. And if I'm usually having a discussion with them, I say, no. That's not what I think. That's what God thinks, because that's what it says in the Bible. It's what the Word of God says. When Paul wrote, for instance, in Philippians, and he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. First, I'm a creationist. I'm not an evolutionist. I'm a creationist because the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I'm a creationist because that's what the Word of God says. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at the science and all of that, but I'm no expert in all of this, but let me tell you, there are plenty of scientists who are creationists, who disagree with the evolutionists, and can poke holes in evolution here, there, and everywhere. So we need to be careful. Many of our young people today, especially this generation right now, they are being inundated with evolutionary thinking. They're being inundated with non-biblical thinking. Everything from the norms in our culture to the sciences. So we need to be careful. That's the quicksand of the subjective. We begin to think in our own minds. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. I just think that we should be on guard with regards to that. And then the quicksand of the suggestive, that's on the back of your handout, that's the infusion of the ideas of another. Other people placing ideas and thoughts. Someone came to me not too long ago and they had this question. It was on a Sunday night. It was after the service. And they had met someone. And this someone that they had met had come up with some strange biblical teaching that God commanded in His Word that no one should ever eat meat. And I asked, well, where could you show me that in the Bible? Where does it say that in the Scriptures? And they said, well, I think it's in the Old Testament. And I was able to at least take them to the Old Testament and see and show them, well, listen, in the Old Testament, certainly under the law, there were certain meats that they were permitted to eat and certain meats that they were not permitted to eat. But obviously, if God permitted them to eat certain meats, then God did not forbid them to eat meat. And that wasn't a difficult argument for me to win. But they had been so convinced by someone that I really think that they made a good point. I said, no, they didn't make a good point because it's not found in the Bible. So that's the quicksand of the suggestive. People come along and they suggest things that the Bible really has nothing to say with regards to these things. So be careful of the experiences. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul warned of this. In fact, Paul warned about that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. And he warned about other gospels. He said, I marvel how so soon you've been removed from the simplicity of the gospel. And he said this with regards to the sinking sand of experiences and our own thoughts coming into our minds. He said, listen, we need to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The only way that you can do that is to build your life upon the rock, not upon the sand. Because the sand of our experiences at some point is like a sinkhole. You can't base your faith on your experience unless that experience lines up with the Bible. Then you can build your life upon that experience. But it must line up with the Bible. Never nourish an experience which has not God as its source and faith in God as its results. So be careful. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I've experienced. Be careful of that. That's the sinking sand. That's the sinking sand of experience. And then there's the sinking sand. The sinking sand of expectations. And so that's defined as the expectations we have of God do not fulfill our purpose and goals in life. Did you get that? That the expectations you have of God do not fulfill your goals and your purpose in life. You know what? We're not here for God to fulfill our goals and purpose in life. We're here to fulfill God's roles and purpose and goals through us. We're the vessels. We're the instruments that God is to work through. And so sometimes things don't go the way we expected, and then we live upon the quicksand of disappointment. Be careful of that. We're not here to achieve our purpose. God isn't here. We're here to achieve God's purpose. We are His workmen. The quicksand of disappointment and the quicksand of discouragement. Well, I really thought that God was going to do this, and it really didn't work out this way. Listen, Isaiah said that our ways are not God's ways, neither are our thoughts God's thoughts. God's in control. God's the one that directs. God's the one that is to be allowed to point our life in this direction or point our life in that direction. And if we're not careful, we get disappointed in what's going on, and it becomes the sinkhole of expectations. In fact, keep staying here in the book of Matthew. Let me show you one example. Go to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. And beginning in verse 16. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. This is the first message I ever preached. I didn't preach it out of actually the Gospel of Matthew, but it's also found in the Gospel of Mark, and it's also found in the Gospel of Luke. It's the first message I ever preached here many, many years ago, and it's about the rich man and who comes to Jesus. And pick it up, if you will, in verse 16. He says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Well, which? And Jesus saith, or said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, the young man said unto him, Well, all these things have I kept from my youth up. I've done these things, I've made this application in my life. Which lack I? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, here's the sinking sand of expectations. I don't ever think the man expected that Jesus was going to make this request of him. In fact, we find out that in the next verse, But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, Jesus knew his heart. He knew what his expectations were. And I really think, and I'm not going to get into this all, but I really think it's a great lesson for us to learn in the sense that, listen, none of us are saved by what we do. We're saved by what Jesus has done for us. Amen? But as Christians, the Lord asks us to do things and to build our lives upon the rock, the foundation of His promises. And in this instance, the man did this, the man did this, the man did this, the man did this. But Jesus knew that the man was possessed by his possessions. They were more important to him than anything else. And sometimes in life, as Bible-believing Christians, we come across things or come across circumstances where we have to choose. Is this really more important, or is following God more important? Sometimes we're possessed. It could be our possessions. It could be we're possessed by our passions, the things that we love to do. It could be we're possessed by other people in the sense that we put them first and so forth. But this man, he was asked of Jesus to do this one thing, and the Bible says of him that it exceeded his own expectations of what he thought the Lord should ask of him. And so instead of submitting himself unto the Lord, the Bible says that he turned, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so be careful when what you think and what your expectations in life are all about, that God doesn't meet those expectations. Because when that happens, we're taking Jesus off the throne and we're putting ourselves on the throne. We're asking him to be our servant and we his master, when he is to be the master and we are to be his servant. And whatever and however the Lord decides to use us and do with us through life, we should be receptive to those expectations. To not be so is to live on the sinking sand of expectations. And then lastly is the sinking sand of expediency. And that is the desire to effect a desired result regardless of whether or not it's biblical. Well, I don't care. If it's, I'm just going to do this. In fact, go back to where we were, Matthew chapter number 7, and actually back up two chapters. So again, I told you already what chapters 5, we just had a quick summation of chapters 5 and chapters 6 and chapter 7 and the many topics that Jesus taught on here. And let's be mindful that these are not suggestions. These are commandments. God commands us to do these things. And he has every right to command us. And he has every right to expect us to be obedient to the commandments. In fact, he says, just in the beginning of chapter 5, look what he says in verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, boy, that's why I'm not a teacher at church. I don't want to teach a Sunday school class or something because I don't want... So you don't have to stand before people to be a teacher. Mom and dad, grandmom, granddad, uncle, aunt, big brother, big sister, you're teaching every day by your actions. Every day you're teaching by your actions. And there are things that the Lord asks us to do. He talks, for instance, about forgiveness. And we will not harbor a spirit of forgiveness. Well, we might not be standing before a group of people teaching on forgiveness, but when in our lives it is observed by our friends, our family members, our co-workers, really what we then are doing is becoming a stumbling block. We're living on the quicksand or the sinking sand of our own expediency. We don't care. We don't really care. In fact, it's like self-deception. I don't care if that's what God says. I'm just going to do my own thing. Or sometimes we, the old saying, you finish it for me. The ends justify the... Well, that's not biblical. The ends justify the... I'm not faithful in this area. And I know that God says you should be faithful in this area. But and this is the reason why. Listen, there is no reason why to be unfaithful. None. None. That's the sinking sand that we need to be careful of. We teach by our actions. And you think it can't happen. Well, take your Bibles. We'll come back here to finish in just a minute. Go to the book of Galatians. Let me show you something that happened in the life of the Apostle Peter, in which he had to be rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Galatians, if you would, chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2. And pick it up in verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when, so here's Paul, and he's writing to the believers in the church, to the churches that are in the region of Galatia. And he says this: "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Well, let me just stop there. So we don't, you know, we think of the apostles and we think, well, they were like supermen, they couldn't do anything wrong. Well, here's the apostle Peter, and here's the apostle Paul. And Paul has to rebuke Peter for his behavior. And he says this to him: "For before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles," meaning Peter. "But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." So in other words, there, Peter was there, and when he was with the Gentiles, he was eating with the Gentiles, but now some Jews came down, and he was worried what they would think, and so when that happened, he would separate himself as if he really didn't have that kind of a practice. And Paul says in verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly," in other words, it was just expedient. There was less trouble, Peter thought, if he did it this way. But he wasn't basing it on the Bible. He wasn't basing it on the Scriptures. And so Paul says to him, "When I saw that they walked not uprightly," meaning not only Peter, and by the way, because Peter did it, it seemed as if other disciples did it. He was leading by a poor example. His actions were drawing others in that direction. So again, you and I, we don't have to necessarily be teachers or preachers, but when we do things out of expediency, because it's just easier that way, it'll cause less waves per se, or I've reasoned in my own mind or my own thinking, or I have my own expectations, why it is I can be unfaithful in this particular area, and I think God will understand. No, 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 no. God's word is God's word. You know what that's called? It's a three-letter word. Begins with S, ends with N, and you figure out the rest. It's called sin. Verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Because why, Peter, are you engaging in that which we know we're not to be engaging in? Is it just expedient for you to do that? And that's the quicksand sometimes in our own lives. We deceive ourselves. Well, I think it's okay to be disobedient in this area. No, no, you're just, it's a deceit that we have in our lives. Or it's self, I'm just going to assert myself in this area, regardless of what God says. It's just easier that way. No, 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 no. You see, that's the quicksand. That's the sinking sand of sin. And so Jesus taught there, and you go back, and we're finishing up now. You go back to the Gospel of Matthew. So Jesus taught on all of these topics. And whether it's the topics that he taught about, and the Sermon on the Mount that begins in chapter 5 and ends there, in chapter number 7. And he says, again, he says, listen, you do these things, you'll be like the wise man. You built your house upon the rock. No builder, a lot of you fellows are builders, and you ladies, I'm sure you can appreciate this as well, but no builder, if he had the opportunity to build a house, and he could build it on a solid foundation, no builder that knew anything about building would build it upon the sand. In fact, when we put in the handicap ramp last year, the town told us you cannot pour just slabs and put your pillars on the slabs. That you have to go down below the frost line. You have to have some type of a foundation. So we, of course, didn't build a foundation, but we had those pylons drilled into the ground. They came with this machine. They drilled these. They're about this wide, and they look like giant drill bits, and they just drilled them into the ground 4 feet down, and that's the foundation. So that it won't move. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. Listen, don't let your experience trump God's Word. Don't let whatever your own expectations are trump God's Word. Don't let your own expediency, your own desired results, or it's just easier if I don't deal with that, regardless of what God says, I'm just going to do my thing. Well, we deceive ourselves. You know, Paul could have walked and saw what Peter was doing and walked away and said, well, I don't know why he's doing that, but I guess I'll just forget about it. No, he got right into Peter's face and he said, Peter, this is wrong what you're doing. So let's just say all of us, if Peter could make mistakes like this, all of us at times in our lives, instead of being on solid footing upon the solid rock, sometimes I think we're on the sinking sand. We need to be careful of that. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they will in our lives. They beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Let's be like the wise man, not the foolish man. Build your personal life, your home life, your church life, your work life, your school life, your social life, build it upon the rock of Jesus Christ and His Word. The question should always be, can we harmonize our experience, our expectations, or what we think is expedient, can we harmonize it with the Word of God? Does it harmonize with God's Word? Is what I'm doing, what I belong to, what I'm engaged in, does it harmonize with God's Word? And lastly, do what I am trusting in for my eternal salvation, does it harmonize with God's Word? What am I trusting in to have my sins forgiven? What am I trusting in to go to heaven? What am I trusting in? Are you trusting in the person of Jesus Christ? For all other ground is sinking sand. But on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And if you're here today and you've never put your personal faith in Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock that we depend upon. And if you're here, you need to understand this. You can't get to heaven by your good works. That's sinking sand. You can't get to heaven by being a church member. That's sinking sand. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. That's sinking sand. You get to heaven by believing that you're a sinner, by understanding that Jesus died and paid for your sin on a rock called Golgotha 2,000 years ago. And He hung there suspended between heaven and earth. And all of your sin and all of my sin was placed upon Him. And He was dying for you. He was your atonement. And he was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. All other ground is sinking sand. If you're here today and you've never called upon Christ to save you, my hope and prayer and desire is that the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and convinces you of that. And this is the day you call on him to be your Savior. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.